When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scottish Sun podcast with myself, Robert Grieve. With me today, David Friel and Gareth Law, our two esteemed sports writers. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Robert.
You were at the Celtic game yesterday, David. A comfortable victory for Celtic, for Brendan Rodgers' side, albeit they didn't get the goals that they maybe could have done, but it was pretty much one-way traffic, was it? And I tell you what, it was a fantastic goal, wasn't it? Scott Sinclair, the first one. What a goal it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in the stadium, probably even Scott Sinclair himself, thought it was going over the bar, but the dip it took right at the end was incredible. I mean, Celtic, I think they were professional, they were pretty polished. It was a game of attack v defence. I mean, credit to Albion Rovers for the way they were organised. They shut down the space, but they basically just camped at the edge of the 18-yard box. And I felt really sorry for the striker, Ross Stewart, because he'll probably ask one day, did you ever play against Celtic? And he'll say yes, but I mean, all he did was basically chase the ball from centre-half to centre-half. It was a thankless task. And Albion Rovers, every time they got the ball, Celtic pressed them so hard and so quickly that they just lost it again. And in fairness, you know, you always felt goals were going to come for Celtic. At the end, they could probably have added a few more as well, Robert, but I think, you know, Brendan Rodgers will be content with the 3-0 win.
Were you surprised by that, Gareth? Would you have thought that Celtic would have run up a bigger scoreline against that kind of opposition? Turn your phone off, Gareth, please, come on.
Sorry, Robert. Unprofessional.
Unprofessional of you. Would you have expected Celtic to score more goals, or was it all about just getting through?
It was all about getting through, but I think what you saw yesterday, if that performance or if that display from Albion Rovers had come against the Ronnie Dyla team, the questions, the soul-searching would have started, whereas yesterday, albeit Albion Rovers made it tough for them, there was never any doubt that you thought Celtic would go through.
The big thing for Celtic between now and end of the season, David, is the treble, isn't it? I mean, that's what they're going for. The league's virtually done and dusted. They've got the League Cup already in the cabinet. Would you expect that to happen? Is that the thing that's motivating these players now?
I think it's the thing that's motivating. I mean, I do think, although Brendan Rodgers is at pains to say he's never even mentioned the treble to his players, he's also...
Do you believe that?
He's maybe never actually said treble, but he's also saying to them he wants them to keep going and keep winning every game, so that leads to a treble. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think it's disrespectful to the other teams in Scotland to say it is. And let's remember, there is always the chance of a player getting sent off or something happening, Celtic getting beaten penalties, Celtic having an off day. You know, they've not been beaten domestically all season, but it's hard to keep that going. And, you know, there's been some really good Celtic teams down the years, haven't won a treble. It's not as easy to do as people seem to think. It's not a foregone conclusion at all, but I don't think Celtic will have a better chance than they've got this year.
That's the thing, Gareth. Celtic are far and away the best team in the country at the minute. Would it not be something they should be expected to do now?
I thought it was they should be expected to have done it when Rangers were down the leagues. You know, that they had possibly the weakest, some of the weakest campaigns they will have had in recent history, and they failed to do it then. But there's just something about a Brendan Rodgers Celtic team. When you hear him speak at press conferences, he's very clear in his message, not just to us, but you get the impression that's what he's like, whether it be in the changing rooms, whether it be in board meetings. There's just this confidence around that team right now that you just can't see them losing. I can't see them losing. I know David says about, you know, you can get a player sent off. It's happened to them. You know, they've had players sent off and they've continued to play the way Brendan Rodgers has wanted them to play, and then they picked up the points. So I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but as David says, I think this is one of the best chances possible that they will have to win the treble.
A quick word for Albion Rovers, David, because I thought you say defensively exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, the keeper did make it, especially towards the last half hour when Celtic's fitness comes through. You know, the keeper did make a lot of good saves, Celtic at the bar, so it could have been a few more. But in terms of organisation, in terms of the way they fought for everything and shut down the space, and the two Dunlop brothers in central defence, you know, they put their bodies in front of everything. So I don't think they went, you know, they didn't leave the tie disgraced. If anything, the tie's been great for Albion Rovers. They've got a lot of exposure, a lot of money, and I think Dan Young has only enhanced his reputation as a good young manager.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Well, I was at Ibrox on Saturday for Rangers' 2-1 win over Motherwell. Kenny Miller's two goals in the space of 5 minutes, clawing back the game for them. Gareth, Kenny Miller, out of contract in the summer. I've written about this morning.
Yep.
I find it staggering that the club haven't given them a contract offer on the table. clearly there are some issues here which have to be resolved. Are you in that camp? Do you find it's surprising that Rangers are stalling on this?
Totally. I think this is a guy who he's impacting games, you know, massively, but it's not as though at his age he's coming off the bench and doing it. He's playing the full game here. You know, you've got to give him massive credit for the shape he's in, for the way he's kept himself as fit as he has. I mean, even at those kind of at the age he is, you kind of excuse him getting injured, having the odd knock occasionally, but he's, on top of that, he's also finishing and scoring goals like he did on the weekend. I find it, like you, staggering. They've not sat him down and yeah, he's doing it on the pitch, but you also, you know, you can imagine in the dressing room, he's a big influence in there. Mark Warburton has spoken about that. So whatever the issue is there right now, that Rangers team, I think, needs not all the help it can get, but it needs all the everything that's positive around that team. They need to keep it there, and he's one huge positive right now. You saw the way they defended for the Motherwell goal. That the defence once again looked powder puff. You know, there are still things wrong with that team. Kenny Miller is something that's right with that team, and that needs to get fixed as soon as possible, I think.
David, he's 37 years of age, Kenny Miller, and for that, it's staggering in itself. But you take that out of the equation, he's the Rangers' best player.
See, the age thing doesn't matter. See, Kenny Miller's not overweight, he's not unfit, you still look at him and you can still do it. And see, for me, the big thing about Kenny Miller, right, okay, he's 37, and see if he was coming on and scoring against, I don't know, Hamilton Accies or Inverness, and fair enough, right? But you look at the big games Rangers play, right, big cup games. The Old Firm game, Kenny Miller scored the goal. The semi-final last year against Celtic, Kenny Miller scored the goal. The cup final, Kenny Miller scores a goal. The games against Motherwell this season, one last minute winner, two on Saturday to put them through. You then see Rangers going up to Inverness, a really tough venue. Kenny Miller scores one of the goals of the season. Kenny Miller, without Kenny Miller this season, Rangers' points tally would be way down,
yeah.
Right? Seeing big, big games, the games where people need to stand up and be counted, Kenny Miller does it. Kenny Miller scores goals in big games. So why on earth does it matter? He's 37. See if Teddy Sheringham and Ryan Giggs and guys like that can play in the Premier League in their 40s. Why can Kenny Miller not play in the Scottish League until he's 38, 39? It staggers me that Rangers aren't going to tie him down a deal or have shown no inclination right now, because for me, without Kenny Miller, you can talk about Joe Garner and all these guys, you know, I would have Kenny Miller on the Rangers team every day of the week before these guys.
Well, I think David's just gone for the record of the amount of times you can say the words Kenny Miller in the space of 2 minutes. We'll need to record that back, because it must be about 365. Hold on a minute, David.
I'm sure Neil can edit some of that out.
No, we'll need to put more in. But listen, I've written about it this morning. There's a board meeting at Rangers later this week that I'm sure his name will be discussed, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops. But, Gareth, are there issues with Mark Warburton? Because he's made it clear that he wants to keep Kenny, and Clint Hill as well, who comes into the same bracket. But clearly, there are some issues there that the board aren't prepared at this minute to back the manager. Should there be alarm bells ringing with that situation?
Yeah, they probably should. I mean, I think it's an open and shut case about Kenny Miller. But when you look at the recruitment,
just call him Miller. We don't need to call him Kenny Miller.
Right.
Let's just nail this now, guys. Come on,
Kenneth.
We're calling Kenny Miller as if it's one word. Come on.
What are we calling him?
Miller, Kenny,
right.
Either or.
Okay,
who's
Grieve.
Your game,
okay,
chaps?
Grieve.
Come on.
Right, Grieve. I think the recruitment at Rangers since the summer can certainly be questioned. So if there's a trust issue between the board and Mark Warburton, you look at his history in the transfer market, and that's where maybe the trust issue could be. I don't think...
Yeah, but Gareth, surely they can see with their own eyes right now where Rangers are getting their best performances from.
Exactly, that's
and
what
it's
I mean.
From Miller.
So there shouldn't be any doubt that Miller should be signed up right now. If there is a trust issue, I could understand it being, you know, bringing new guys in, but they want the issue with the striker that's scoring all the goals for the Rangers right now is an open and shut case. He should be signed up as soon as possible.
Is it too much to expect, David? I mean, Kenny's out of contract in the summer, but in the transfer window here, there could be clubs looking at this situation and thinking, is it worth a little punt? Could an Aberdeen or a Hearts or a Hibs think, let's get him in, give him the 18-month contract and test the waters there? Because I tell you what, they could do a lot worse.
They could do a lot worse. But I do wonder as well if the Rangers board are just looking at it and thinking, you know what, it's Kenny, he's up here, he's settled, he's not really wanting to go anywhere else, so we can tie him up in a contract whenever we want. I think that's a dangerous game to play, to be perfectly honest with you. I think if we take somebody for granted like that, then he could easily turn away and go and say, no, you know what, I'm going to sign for Hearts, I'm going to sign for Hibs again. I'm not saying he's going to, but I think Kenny Miller has been a good enough servant for Rangers that he deserves a bit more respect. And as I said, I get the fact that he's 37, I get the fact Clint Hill's 38, and that ideally Rangers going forward do not want guys of that age in their team, because where's the long term plan? I get all that, but you know what, see if he's your best striker, see if he's the guy that's delivering for you in the big games, then you just need to put up with it. And okay, his age isn't ideal, but I would still give him a new contract.
That's the thing, if he got injured tomorrow, where are they going to get their goals from?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you talk about Joe Garner's got a song about him, right? And Joe Garner is an infinite player, Kenny Miller is. You'd have Kenny Miller before Joe Garner every day.
The goals have dragged up for Martin Marcon as well.
Well, what I was going to say was the goals that Kenny Miller scored, certainly the first one, Joe Garner wouldn't score that goal because he'd be coming out of the box, he'd be looking to come short and play off the cross. Kenny points to where he wants it, ball's delivered in it, and he finishes it superbly. Same with the second goal as well, a great pass through to him and a great finish. Motherwell, I don't know what you thought of them, gentlemen. They sat in, they defended, they kind of set out their stall. They very much, I almost thought, play for a replay. It made things very difficult for Rangers, and then they get the goal. Is it Mark McGee was distraught after the game? I've never seen a manager as disappointed as he was after the final whistle.
I think it's all the man of the final goal.
It's worrying, isn't it, though, David? Because they're losing late goals in games. Yeah. And that's, you say, the man of it,
see if you're losing late goals and it's down to great play by some. You know, see, I agree with you. I think Mark McGee would have taken a replay before the game. I think he set up. And he did bring Scott McDonald on late on. But I think he was quite happy to take a replay. At one each in the last, 89-90 minutes, you've got a replay. See if Stephen McManus, and I'm really surprised a guy of that experience made that mistake. See if he just shells it down the wing. Chances are it's going to go to a replay, right? You know, it's going to take Rangers to try and carve Motherwell open. He's got the ball, and I don't really know what he was trying to do. I think he just had a kind of brain melt. I think it was like, and he passes the ball to Emerson Hyman. Now, in fairness to Emerson Hyman, it's a straight pass.
Good pass, though.
Great pass.
Good,
you know, pass. Good composer, good weight on it.
Perfect weight on
but
it.
But it's in Motherwell's hand. You know, it's not as if, see if Kenny Miller scored another great goal like that, but he did his first, then fair enough. But Motherwell have got the ball.
Yeah.
All Steve McManus says to just play the ball down the line, but for some reason, I don't know who he spots, but he just plays it infield and it's game over. And I think that's why Mark McGee was so distraught and so upset that the way Motherwell just handed the win to Rangers.
I mean, if you look at it, Gareth, Motherwell's tactics were pretty bang on. If they get the win, they're not far away from getting the win. They could easily get the draw, as David said. So in those circumstances, you'd be looking at Mark McGee and saying, kind of master plan, it worked. But at the same time, should we not expect a team, an SPL Premiership team, to be going there and having a little bit more of a go?
If you throw in the fact that Rangers could have had a penalty.
Yeah, and they should have done. It was a terrible decision from the referee.
It looked a stonewaller. If you take that into consideration, then, you know, maybe Mark McGee, I mean, did Mark McGee take that into consideration at the end? He probably didn't, because, you know, he was feeling hard done by. But, you know, I think Rangers deserved to win it, I think. But the tactics that Mark McGee used, you can understand his disappointment at the end that they didn't get that replay.
Toro didn't have a fine performance in the middle of the park. I don't know how much you've seen of it. He looks not near match fit. David, I mean, that's going to take... Keith Lashley, by the way, had an excellent game. We're talking about older players with Kenny Miller.
Yeah.
Another guy who keeps churning out performances. I thought Keith Lashley was exceptional. But should we need to give these new guy Toro a bit of time to bed himself in?
It's where they're going to play. It's where, you know, Rangers have signed Emerson Hyman and they've signed John Toro, and how does he change the structure of his team? Mark Walton, does he play Toro as one of the front three? Is he playing as one of the middle three? I think Hyman's more a deep line midfielder. So who does Andy Halliday drop out then? Does Jason Holt still get a game? I don't know. I think it's been the case since the start of the season. I don't know Rangers' strongest team. I must be honest with you, I don't know what it is. There have been so many changes. You've got guys that have been injured, Joey Barton's been and gone, and I don't know what the strongest team is. And I think Mark Warburton in the next couple of weeks has to find his strongest team to try and then cement second place and try and get a cup run.
But don't you think as well that he's brought in midfielders again? We've just talked about the striker issue and goals. I'm surprised. I know he's got Jogana and he's injured right now. I don't know why he's not actually tried to address that goals issue.
Well, Gareth, I wouldn't be surprised if he has done. Again, it comes down to probably the finance and the backing that he's getting from the board there, because he's not been able to bring in players. Yeah. He's not been able to sign players. It's all loan players.
No, totally.
He's looking at.
Yeah.
And if you're a decent striker at any club anywhere in the world right now, you're not going to get a moving loan, because you're not going to get allowed to shift.
Does Gareth have a point, though, in the sense that the summer transfer dealings are back to haunt Mark
100%.
Because
you look at,
and I know there's a bit of bad luck with Kranjčar, Jordan Rossiter, like, again, we don't really know the extent of the injury. Joey Barton, Joe Dudu, Joe Gardner.
Not addressed the defence.
But have these guys really hit the ground? Josh Windass has been okay, Matt Crooks is already gone. I don't know, you know, Mark Warburton said, I think it was 11 players during the summer. Did they get value? I don't know whether that's just coming back to haunt them a wee bit.
Well, that's the thing managers do, Mark Warburton has done, they speak about recruitment, don't they? It's been the key issue, and that's been something that he hasn't got right.
Even when you look at somebody like, and I know he should have had a penalty, Michael O'Halloran, they spent money on him, and whether he's doing it or not, whether he's getting the chances or not, you know, has he worked out?
For me, the Haaland one was a bizarre signing because he doesn't fit into the way Rangers play. He needs space to run into. Rangers let teams bed in before they attack. I found that a strange signing. And again, he's one that clubs are looking at. I think we're talking about St Johnstone, Aberdeen potentially looking at him.
Motherwell
as well. You wouldn't be surprised, Gareth, if he was one of the guys to move on.
He spent a lot of time down south, not getting much game time. And you saw how well he played when he was at St Johnstone. So I don't think you want to hang around and rot in the reserves. So I think you'd be looking to get out as soon as you can.
Yeah, I think that's one to definitely watch. But listen, fair play to Rangers. They fought back, they got the good win, and they're in the next round.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Raith Rovers against Hearts with one of the games on Sunday, and Hearts get a good lead in the game, Gareth, and then they let it go.
Terrible game. Terrible first half, especially. Second half, it got going a bit.
Well, you were there, and what I was going to ask you about, and we hate to labour the point and always talk about Ian Catherall, but after the game, he speaks about his comments. Tell us about his comments, Gareth, that you found quite surprising.
Well, the way I found it was my first dealings post-match with Ian Catherall, and I felt...
What did he say exactly?
Well, it was in the paper today. I'm sure people would have read it online as well, but he's... You know, I asked him if he thought it was a fair result or not, or if he felt hard done by, and didn't really answer the question. Said that it was, if you look at it one way, then Hearts have been the better teams, they deserve to win. But if you look at the other way, Raith had kept battling on, and maybe it wasn't, and the answer was maybe somewhere in between both stools. And I just, his demeanour afterwards, as I say, was my first dealings with him after the game. Speaking to some of the other guys who've dealt with him previous to that, they said he's been kind of quite warm and quite receptive in press conferences. Yesterday, certainly, it wasn't a great game, probably from Hearts' point of view. Ian Catherall said that Hearts were the better team, and I disagree with him on that. That's the second half especially, I thought Raith could have maybe won it. And when Mark Stewart hit the bar from a few yards out, you wondered if it was going to be Raith's day. Credit to Raith, they kept going, heads didn't go down. Sometimes, you know, you see lower division teams miss a chance like that and think that is the one chance we're going to get and it's done now, but they kept going, and you know they got the equaliser, and I still think Hearts will probably win on Wednesday, but they do need to win on Wednesday because
that's a huge game for them though, isn't it? I mean, the cup draw pairs them with Hibs in the next round if they get through, which I tell you what would be a feisty tie. But we've got the manager of Hearts staying yesterday, he didn't even know this game was on Wednesday. What's all that about?
I think that's astounding.
You know?
Absolutely astounding. I mean, I get the kind of sort of positive mentality. We don't even want to know when the replay is because we're going to win the first game.
Yeah, but you do know when the
replay is. You do know when the replay is. You should know. Terms of planning, in terms of structure, in terms of training, in terms of what happens. I just found that, A, I can't believe he didn't know, and B, I can't believe Ian Catherall admitted it.
They didn't say that.
Because in public, I mean, I don't think that's a thing you should be saying to employers. I mean, if I'm Ann Budge, I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's your job to know.
Yeah.
But also, in terms of Ian Catherall's, I saw the BBC interview as well, and it was a bit strange, but I think his post-match comments and his interview techniques, etc., are the least of his worries just now. You know, I look at Hearts, and I think they fielded four debutants yesterday. It was three in the back four. Don't care who you are at what level. See, if you're fielding three new players in your back four for a game, a cup tie, especially away, that's going to be really, really hard. I think when Ian Catherall came in, it was Hearts were second in the league. Okay, people might say it's a false position because Aberdeen, I think, and Rangers maybe had games in hand, but they were a team in the up, and it seems to be it's all this talk now is about you need to get better, you need to restructure the team and rebuild the team. I thought Hearts were actually doing okay. Callum Patterson's been a bit of bad luck, losing him to injury. Obviously a couple of players away at the African Nations Cup, but I just think Hearts need to get on a wee run, a couple of games, and they need to beat Raith, because I think losing to Raith is unthinkable, but then we'd be better losing to Raith than losing to Hibs.
Well, that is the point, but listen, he'll be telling you he doesn't want to lose either game, and he'd be right to think that. Gareth, is a honeymoon period over with him? Because we're trying to cut him some slack here. He's obviously had his critics at the start when he came in. Results haven't been good enough if you look at it per match. They've got Raith Rovers this weekend. They've got Celtic, this week. They've got Celtic on Sunday. This is a huge week for Ian Cathro, you know.
Well, first of all, before I say what I'm going to say, I hope he does well. I mean,
absolutely, I think we all do.
I think a young manager doing well will raise the profile outside of Scotland of Scottish football.
There's a butt coming,
and the butt is that before the winter break, we were led to believe the winter break would be used for him to get the players to know how to play properly. That was going to be his time when he was going to get his ideas across to the players. What I saw yesterday didn't really amount to that, I don't think. And if it did, then there should be some grave concerns. I didn't really see much to get excited about in that Hearts team yesterday.
I mean, is that going to be the worry for Hearts fans, David? Because they were going great guns before Ian Cathro came in. Robbie Nielsen, I mean, his last game was against Rangers. They played them off the park. And yet here we are, a month down the line, maybe 6 weeks down the line. It's not going to plan, is it?
No, not at all, and that's what I'm saying. See when you've got a new manager coming in, and you've also got so many new players, and he's trying to bed them in, he's trying to get his ideas across, he's trying to kind of cement his status as the Hearts manager. It's his first job, he's trying to prove himself. It's a bad mix, you know. He really needs just a kind of period where, you know, there's a couple of games where he can get a couple of, you know, comfortable wins or solid wins. But as you're saying, Robert, it's not going to be easy, because Raith Rovers are going to come with nothing to lose for the replay, and then he's going to have to go to Celtic Park at the weekend, which, as we spoke about earlier on, it's going to be the hardest game of the season.
So just to touch on, sorry Gareth, I mean, I'd imagine the Raith management team were pretty delighted yesterday. What was their mood?
I think they were trying to keep a lid on it a bit, but we all know that Gary Locke's history with Hearts and how it ended at Hearts. Raith have been struggling all season. Haven't won since October.
Seventh in the championship. They're not a top level championship team. They're struggling down there.
I think that before yesterday, I think they'd only scored something like 3 goals in the last 9 games. So, you know, this. On top of that, you know, they're not a team that are scoring, yet they can still score against Hearts. I did think Aaron Hughes looked all right yesterday, and I think he could maybe...
He'll be a good signing,
right? I think he will be a good signing. I mean, there were times when he cruised it yesterday, and I think he could be somebody that Cathro could well lean on in the months to come. 37-year-old guy, but you can see he's been around the game a lot. He was cool when it was needed, time to tackle as well. So I think he could be a... If Hearts are going to start turning this around, we've talked about Kenny Miller's influence in the dressing room. I think Aaron Hughes could have a big influence on and off the park for Hearts going forward.
Yeah, we're talking about cruising it. St Mirren had a fantastic victory against Dundee at Dens Park on Saturday. David, for me, it's a result of the round, a result that maybe a lot of people didn't see coming. Personally, I predicted it at Ibrox on Saturday when I was talking to some colleagues about the game. But I tell
Did you
what,
have that on tape, Robert, or any on
listen,
record?
I'm an honest man, Gareth. I'm just telling you what we said. I predicted
a
victory. it's not about money, David. But I tell you what, did that surprise you, that result, David? Because it would have surprised a lot of folk. They wait for going for someone in the championship. They're toiling 10th bottom, rock bottom of the championship, battling to stay in the division. And yet here they go to Dens against a good Dundee team and play them off the park.
It surprised me because of St Mirren's form, but it doesn't surprise me because of Dundee's form, because Dundee are so frustrating to watch, because one week they're really good, they can beat St Johnstone 3-0 and then they can go and lose 2-0 to St Mirren, but it doesn't make any sense, you know. They're so inconsistent, and I think that's what's Paul Hartley's bugbear, because I mean, he said it was unacceptable. Paul McGowan came out and said it was embarrassing. Dundee shouldn't be losing to St Mirren, you know, with the squads, with the current form, they shouldn't be losing to St Mirren, but they did. And listen, well done to Jack Ross. I watched St Mirren against Dunfermline last week and won each draw, and obviously St Mirren were happier, but I thought there was signs there that he was starting to get something going. I think they've got young Kyle McAllister's a huge talent. I think he'll go right to the top of the game. He signed a new keeper as well, Billy O'Brien from Man City. You know, I just think there's something about St Mirren now that I do think they'll start to get a bit of momentum, and if they can't, if that winning Saturday can't kick start their season, I don't know what's going
to. I was actually stunned to see the result, and the reason was I was in at St Mirren doing an interview on Friday, and they were short of numbers. You had also had the transfer speculation.
New signings come in as well, pitched right into the team.
But also, like Stevie Mallon, there's transfer speculation over him. I don't think Jack Ross was certain he could even select him, you know, the day before the game. At that point, wasn't sure if he was going to leave. There's obviously the transfer speculation and interest on Kyle McAllister. So I actually left St Mirren that morning thinking I thought Dundee would win.
Could get turned over.
But one thing, Jack Ross does seem to have instilled a bit of solidity in that team and confidence, and the players believe in him, I think. As David said, you know, he's brought in new signings. They seem to be paying off. And I mean, it's a long way back at the bottom of that division, though. That, you know, they They've still got a bit of work to turn things around in the league, but a great result and a great confidence booster for the team, your team from Paisley, Robert.
Yeah, as we say, they are toiling in the Championship, but as I say and I have said continuously, I have every faith that someone will stay in the division. Top end of the division though, Dundee United going great guns, looking for winning promotion here out into the Premiership. David, they get turned over royally by Ross County on Saturday. That was a surprise result. I thought they would have made a real game of that and they didn't. Is that an example of the gap between the top end of the Championship in the Premiership, albeit the County are an established Premiership side, but you'd expect more of a game there.
Yeah, I would say that promotion is clearly Dundee United's priority, so I think the Cup, anything that happened in the Cup was a bonus, but by saying that, I didn't expect them to beat 6-2. But like Dundee, Ross County are frustrating because sometimes they're great, sometimes they can go and really produce a result and a real big performance, and they've got good players. You know, Liam Boyce is as good a striker probably out with Celtic as there is in the league, I would say. You know, I think Liam Boyce is a cracking player and he's just got a wee bit of quality around the box. He saw it again on Saturday, but I think for Dundee United it's a sore one. I think, you know, like Hearts, Dundee United need to stabilise a wee bit. You know, there's been a couple of results recently. Hibs are kind of getting a bit further ahead in the Championship, but I don't know if it says anything about the gap between the leagues. I just think Ross County had a good day and Dundee United had a great day.
We'll not run through every game in the Cup on Saturday. There were some results you'd expect. Aberdeen had a 4-0 win over Stranraer. Again, a result I think you'd expect. St Johnstone very comfortable against Stenismuir, 2-0. Partick Thistle against Fermartin, 4-0. These results I think we'd pretty much all expect. Kilmarnock though, that was a bad result for them. The Usher side, Gareth, they're not playing very well at the minute.
No, there was
just
there
briefly on that one, because that's a big result for Hamilton. It's been a late goal as well.
I think we thought maybe there were signs earlier in the season that Kilmarnock were turning things around after what was a pretty indifferent start to the season. They did go on a bit of a run there. Again, there's a whole new batch of players come in this window at Kilmarnock. Some have left. We've talked about teams or managers picking or working out what their best team is. I still think there's an element of Lee Clark doing that, and they'll have to get things going fairly fairly quickly again soon if they're not to kind of get sucked down into the real relegation problems, which Lee Clark has always maintained he doesn't want the club doing. You know, he's always said he's in there to stop the slump that Kilmarnock have suffered every season, and the relegation dogfight they've had to deal with every season.
Yeah. Elsewhere, there was a good win for Morton against Falkirk. Inverness Cali Thistle had a difficult game against Elgin but won through. Queen's Park and Ayr will do it again in a replay, and we've got to mention the cup holders, David. They took care of their tie very comfortably. Bonnyrigg Rose doing fantastically well to get as far in the competition as this, but fair play to Hibs. All eyes on them at Tynecastle, but they got the job done. Very professional job there.
Yeah, because you've seen senior teams. Remember Hearts against Auckland Lake Talbot, it was a bit of a struggle. You've seen that happen before, and Bonnyrigg put out Dumbarton, who are in the same division as Hibs, in the previous round over two games. So no, fair play to Hibs, and you know, it was 8-1, and as we said, it sets up a potential cracker in the next round. Hearts, Hibs, Tynecastle.
Well, that's certainly the game we want to watch. Anyway, guys, thanks very much for listening to today's podcast with myself, Robert Grieve, Gareth Law and David Friel. I'm away to count how many times David Friel mentioned the words Kenny Miller, as if it's one word. Gareth, what's your estimate?
I don't know. I think we're going to go off and count how many times you mentioned St Mirren.
St Mirren? Once or twice, but that's because they're the greatest team in the world. Gentlemen, thanks very much.